No getting away from it. It is CPI Day. JMI Wealth's Andrew Kelleher is with us. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Tim. Are you all excited? Are you excited about the CPI?
What I'm aware of is that, you know, some really big decisions hang on this number that are going to have massive repercussions for everybody. So I guess I am excited. But I guess the word is more trepidation. I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah, so economist predictions at the moment, they vary a bit as to what you're going to get, but I'd say a range of 0.5 to 1.8%. That's for the quarterly number. That'll probably cover all of the bases, but that'll see annual inflation either falling slightly or staying relatively unchanged at just over 7%. Now, the Reserve Bank's forecast, they're at the upper end of that range at 7.3% for annual inflation. And as we've sort of heard this morning, food and housing look like they're going to be the big contributors there. But look, Tim, there are some aspects of the details of the outcome that really do pique my interest. And the key aspect appears to be the composition and maybe perhaps differences of opinion around that position. And I'm looking at the various contribution of domestic versus imported inflation. And the technical terms within the calculations is tradable. That's the imported inflation versus non-tradable, which is domestic inflation. And we've potentially got a scenario here, Tim, of domestic inflation, non-tradable inflation, picking up and accelerating a little bit versus imported inflation or the tradable inflation reducing. Now, the reason that's important is because, unfortunately, the domestic stuff could be more persistent. It could be harder to shift lower. So we get those details today. Separately, Tim, what's complicating the interpretation of the number we get today, especially in terms of the impact it will have on further interest rate moves, is that in the April monetary policy review, the central bank expressed concern over the impact of Cyclone Gabrielle and whether or not that was going to be inflationary, but also government spending as well. So it's possible that they've adjusted their inflation forecasts a little bit higher. We don't know that yet. But I would make the final point, Tim, though, that despite the propensity of the professional markets to sort of pore over every detail and analyze whether it, you know, what's the difference between 6.9 or 7.1, the very simple fact of the matter is that outcome is still a heck of a lot higher than the 1% to 3% target band. So the central bank has still got a fair bit of work to do there.
Just one quick addendum, if I can. Does that domestic exceeding imported that you mentioned there, Andrew, does that tell us where we are in the cycle? And does it tell us we're past the peak?
Well, it potentially, remember, they can't really control that tradable inflation. That tells us sort of what's happening overseas. And so there are some sort of, I suppose there's some light at the end of the tunnel there, because we're starting to see some of those imported, that some of that tradable inflation start to reduce a little bit. So hopefully we see the oil price come down, but shipping costs come down. We're starting to see inflation fall a little bit in a number of overseas jurisdictions, not in the UK overnight, but a number of jurisdictions. That domestic stuff, though, tells us a little bit about our own personal situations here in New Zealand. So it tells us about the state of the mortgage market. You know, transmission tells us about the state of the labour market and how quickly we can make changes to the labour market.
Right. OK. Let's have a look at the US. Netflix has had a bit of a slap from investors.
US earnings season's kicked off, closely followed by markets all over the world. We're sort of building into it now. A bit of context here, the US banks come in first. We're obviously a little bit worried about the banking system over there. The good news is that so far a number of the big banks have reported, and at the moment they're all looking reasonably resilient. And I think the key takeout so far there is that those issues that they have in the banking system don't look like they're systemic. I did want to highlight Netflix, because it's a company lots of us here in New Zealand interact with. They revealed their result after the market closed yesterday. Share price got hit pretty hard. It was 10% lower at one point. It has recovered. Problem wasn't their current result, but it was their forecast result. And they're doing a couple of things which analysts were a little bit optimistic about. They're cracking down on password sharing. They're going to try and stop you sharing your password all over the joint, which hopefully will push more people into getting their own subscriptions. But the other thing they're doing is they're introducing a new subscription tier, which will have advertising in it. Heaven forbid. So, but you'd have to put up with ads And that was seen, but they're not quite getting in their forecast. They're not seeing the uplift that they thought they were going to see. And a monumental announcement from Netflix, Tim. They're going to stop mailing out DVDs. Who knew what? They were still doing that? Who knew they were still doing that? What? But they're going to stop it. Yeah, you're not going to be able to get a DVD in the mail anymore.
World as we know it, isn't it? All right, numbers, please.
The Dow Jones is down 80 points, 33,896. That's about 0.25%. The S&P 500, though, is up very slightly, 4155 at the moment, and the NASDAQ is up 20 points, 12,172. The UK market lost 11 points after that big CPI figure, 7898 over there. The Nikkei down 52 points, about 0.2%, 28,606. Shanghai Composite down 23. 3370. The ASX 200 yesterday gained 5 points, 7365. The NZX 50 up 0.28%, 11,917. Kiwi dollar against the US, 0.6207, 0.9235 against the Aussie, 0.5664 euro, 0.4987 against the pound, 83.64 Japanese yen. Gold under $2,000, 1,994 bucks. And Brent crude, $83.58.
Thanks so much, Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth with Money News.